Good weekend to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. When you think about your old age, what some would call your twilight years, what do you hope those years will be like? Where will you be living? What will you be doing? What will be the condition of your health? Who will be those friends or family who will be an important part of your life in those years? Over the past weeks, we've been walking with Samuel, the famous prophet of Israel, who lived from about 1100 BC till about 1020 BC. The story of Samuel's miraculous birth and the vow of his mother Hannah is well known, and we looked closely at those events several days ago. Do you remember some of the amazing events during Samuel's lifetime which shaped his legacy and the story of Israel? May I remind us of these? 1 Samuel 2 and 3 tell us of Samuel's first encounters with God as a young boy and the message of judgment God gave Samuel to relay to Eli the high priest. 1 Samuel 4 and 5 tell us of the horrific time when Eli's sons took God's Ark of the Covenant out of the most holy place of the tabernacle, which was at Shiloh, and took the Ark to the front lines of the battlefield. You'll recall the Ark was captured by the Philistines, and Eli and both his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died on the same day, leaving young Samuel as the heir apparent to the spiritual leadership of a defeated Israel. 1 Samuel 6 and 7 tell us of the return of the ark from the Philistines and the great spiritual revival among the Israelites and God's defeat of the Philistines because they were attacking the Israelites as Samuel led them in worship of Almighty God. 1 Samuel 8 and 9 tell us of the sad defining moment in Israel's history when the elders of the people came to old Samuel in his old age to request a change of Israel's governance. They wanted a human king to lead them like all the other nations. That major turn of events resulted in Saul becoming Israel's first human king inaugurated by Samuel. Now today, will you join me a few years later in Samuel's lifetime as he is now in those twilight years. I'm guessing Samuel might be about 80 years of age when we find him in 1 Samuel 19, verse 18. David was running for his life from King Saul, who we saw yesterday was very jealous and fearful of David and his growing popularity among the people of Israel. Following an attempt by King Saul to kill David, the record tells us when David fled, he went to Samuel at Ramah, and David told old Samuel all that Saul had done to him. Now that is so very interesting to me. Do you know why? Retirement is a strange word, isn't it? Depending on the country in which you live and the history of your family, you probably have some specific ideas and maybe even plans for what your retirement years will be like. In many parts of the world, there are retirement destination villages, which are towns built primarily to accommodate retirees and the lifestyles they work all their adult lives to be able to eventually enjoy in those retirement years. For Samuel, he returned home to Ramah, which was where he was miraculously born to his parents, Hannah and Elkanah. We know God blessed them with five other children, but we have no record of any of them and their families were living when old Samuel returned to live out his retirement years in Ramah. We also know Samuel had two sons, Joel and Abijah, but neither Samuel's wife nor those boys are mentioned in Samuel's retirement years. Thus, we can't say for sure that Samuel returned to live out his life in Ramah because family was there. So if being near family was not Samuel's priority in retirement, what was it? I think I found a clue in David's visit to Ramah. First, Samuel returned to his home because David and the elders of Israel would know where to find old Samuel when they needed wisdom from this man of God. Remember, Samuel had promised to never stop praying for them and to be available to continue teaching them how to live God-honoring lives. 1 Samuel 12:23. That is why David fled from King Saul and ran to Ramah to find and spend time with his old mentor and teacher, Samuel. Oh, I would love to have a video recording of David and Samuel sitting together, talking hour after hour, as David described to Samuel what it was like for him to kill Goliath, and all that had happened in his life since, as he was being pursued by King Saul, who was so jealous of David that he wanted David dead. I wonder how often Samuel's little home was visited by others, especially the elders of Israel, seeking wisdom, guidance, and prayer with Samuel. It appears, after old Samuel and David had spent some time together, Samuel invited David to accompany him to a place called Naoth. Why? I think it was so David could see the other key thing Samuel was doing with his retirement years. Not only was Samuel spending lots of time praying in Ramah and being available to those who needed wisdom from God, Samuel was teaching and coaching younger prophets in Naoth. The record says, "Then David and Samuel went to Naoth and stayed there. Word came to King Saul that David was in Naoth, so he sent men to capture David. But when they arrived, they saw a group of prophets prophesying with Samuel standing there as their leader." Oh, my dear friends, please take special note of this. Samuel was a unique man of God who had lived a unique lifetime leading God's people Israel during a very challenging time in Israel's history. From the time of Moses to the time of Samuel, almost 500 years, the God-appointed leader of his people Israel was the prophet. God spoke to these men, prophets giving them the instructions God wanted the people of Israel to understand at that moment in time. Once the prophet understood God's instructions, then his role was to communicate to the people exactly what God had told him and teach them how to live in obedience to what God had said. Often the prophet would write God's instructions on a scroll, and copies would be made for distribution to the towns and villages of Israel so the people would know what God was speaking to his people. As you know, my friends, we have many of those scrolls in our Bible today. Some are lengthy, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Some are short, like Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Evidently, Samuel had a prophet school in his retirement years. It seems, as God stirred in the hearts of young men with a calling to be a prophet, many of them came to Naoth, where Samuel was using his retirement years to raise up the next generation of prophets. It seems to me Samuel knew Saul the king had turned away from God, and therefore the primary leader of Israel was not receiving guidance directly from God. Nothing could be more disastrous for Israel than for the nation to be led by a leader who had no interest in seeking God's guidance for his people. Now think about that as it relates to the country where you live, my friends. Are those in key leadership in your nation hungry to seek guidance from Almighty God in knowing what is best for your nation? Oh, I'm so glad God gives us this insight into how old Samuel was led by God to wisely use his retirement years. And it challenges me, and I hope you, to ask ourselves what our plans are for the best use of our retirement years, our old age. I see no evidence Samuel was prioritizing his own personal enjoyment or pleasure, but rather focusing his retirement years on obeying God's guidance and doing all he could to help his people, especially by investing in the younger generation to raise up leaders who could lead well after Samuel's death. I think we need to pause right here and pray, asking God to speak to us about his plan for our retirement years, and I'll meet you right back here tomorrow to see what God did with Samuel next.